So I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. I'm going to be reading from the book of Titus. I've been wanting to do this reading for a while. I love this book. It's pretty short, too. So I'd like to do a little overview, a little intro to what's happening here in this ministry. So Titus was a Greek follower of Jesus and was for years a trusted co-worker of Paul, and he went on many missions with him. Titus helped Paul in crisis situations, and we're going to discover that through this book. He was assigned to going to Crete, and it's a large island off the coast of Greece. So there was a lot of bad going on, but they were trying to develop a network of churches there. We see that Cretan culture was a big epicenter, but it was not a good place. And just reading about it, I kind of see that a lot of it is happening today. A lot of corruption. One of the Greek words for being a liar was kretizo, or to be a Cretan. And these people were infamous for their treachery and greed. Most of the men served as mercenaries, and they would just go for the highest bidder, basically. So it was a very unsafe island, and they were plagued by violence and sexual corruption. And living right now, my 25 years, I've never seen the world so corrupt, and with the media and the sexual evil, it's pretty bad. I've never seen it before, and I know people older than me can see how it's kind of going downhill, but sin has always been here since the beginning. There's nothing new. It's all this sin has always been here, and we got to stay strong. And I love this book because it teaches how the church should run and how our households should run. So this island had many harbors and service cities from all over the sea. So from Paul's point of view, it was a good spot because there was a lot of people. We don't know exact details, but we learn that this letter to these churches had come under destructive influence from corrupt Cretan leaders who claimed to be Christians. So Paul assigned Titus the task of, setting the churches here straight in providing instructions. So it's pretty straightforward design. After a brief introduction, we're going to see the task for the church. Then Paul's going to offer some guidance about the new kind of household, as well as the new humanity of a changed life in Christ. And then there's a final greeting at the end. So Paul opens up reminding Titus that his message as an apostle is about the hope of eternal life and the new creation available now through Christ. The hope promised long ago by God who does not lie. And we read that in verse 3 of 1. So this opening comment introduces an important underlying theme, actually. So one of the problems in Cretan churches is that they kind of molded together the God we serve and the Greek gods that they had grown up with, particularly Zeus, the chief god. And Cretans actually claimed that Zeus was born on their island, and they loved to tell stories of his character, which wasn't a good one. He was characterized as seducing women and lying to get his way. But Paul makes it crystal clear that the God that we serve and his son Jesus is totally different than Zeus. And Zeus was corrupt, but we see Jesus' character traits are faithfulness and truth, which means that the Christian way of life is about truth and living in truth as well. And this is a pretty big culture shock for the Cretan people. So we'll start off. I'm gonna actually just read through because it's not too long and it's awesome. So we'll start off in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God an apostle of Jesus Christ for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child and in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. And one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." And I think that prophet name, I looked him up, was Epimenides. So verse 13, "This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and commands of the people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. Chapter 2. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in the faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good. So train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be revealed. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and to teach in your teaching to show integrity and dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful and he is self-condemned. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Although all who are with me send greetings to you, greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. I'll read in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Just I like how Titus has the qualifications for elders and overseers, and so does Timothy here. And I want to I love them because we're all called to live right the way the church is supposed to be. So chapter 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of an overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that they may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to too much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children of their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus.